his left. Tough shot. Made it. End of the line.
Bad pass. Tipped away, and Indiana's got it. Up the floor to Oladipo. He will lay up. Score!
Jones. Watford for the win.
Yes! Yes!
It's Indiana. It's Indiana.
Welcome, Hoosier fans, to the latest edition of Podcast on the Brink. I'm your host, Jared Morris. We had not been planning on bringing you an episode today, but the unfortunate events of yesterday demanded discussion. So, I rounded up Alex Bozich and Chronic Hoosier, and we broke down another bizarre day that can now be added to the Hoosier Hoops litany. I will apologize in advance. The audio quality isn't perfect, as Alex was driving home from Bloomington while we were recording. But his perspective and insight, being in the room during the press conference, is important. If at any point you can't hear, just bear with us. I promise it gets better as we move along. All right, I am here with Alex Bozich and with Chronic Hoosier. Alex is actually on his way back from Assembly Hall right now, where he was covering today's press conference with Fred Glass, Tom Crean, and Tom Morrison, discussing the metal facing that fell from the Assembly Hall ceiling, causing the cancellation of the Iowa game. I think everybody pretty much knows the details, so we don't need to rehash those, Alex, but what was the scene like up in Assembly Hall today when you got there?
I mean, sort of kind of in a season where we've kind of just kind of another, I guess, piece to that puzzle. I mean, everybody was expecting to show up at Assembly Hall tonight and cover a really good Big Ten game, and instead we're there kind of examining the whole scene inside the arena, just, you know, getting reaction from, obviously, Fred Glass was the main speaker of the press conference, and he talked a lot about fan safety, which obviously is the most important thing, and I was given a lot of questions, you know, regarding the scenarios to make the game up, which obviously Indiana wants to do its best to get the game at Assembly Hall, and rightfully so. I mean, you know, obviously moving it to somewhere off campus is going to really negate a lot of the home court advantage that Assembly Hall provides. But obviously there was a lot of concern, you know, with the administration up there about fan safety and just the overall, I guess, condition of the building. And it doesn't seem like, you know, most people have, I guess, watched the video at this point and kind of read the tweets, but it doesn't seem like there's anything significantly wrong from a structural standpoint of the building. So it seems like a matter of getting the inspections done and getting the building back open. The women's game is going to be played tomorrow there against Michigan, and it looks like the building's checked out. Besides the areas in the corner, which they won't have filled for the women's game, they can kind of block those off. So overall, just kind of a weird scene overall. Just based on, you know, what happens next in this whole season of kind of unpredictability, I guess is the best word.
Yeah. Now, what kind of sense did you get? How confident are they in what they said today? Because Fred Glass and even Tom Morrison kept stressing the preliminary nature of what they found. And they did say that, you know, there wasn't structural damage. These were panels that they've even thought about removing. And that may be one of the solutions, that they just remove these panels. Did you get the sense at all that they expect big changes when they do further investigation? Or do they think that these preliminary investigations and diagnoses are going to hold up?
I think they seemed pretty confident. I mean, I don't think it's one of those things where if they didn't feel very good about it, you go in a press conference and say what they did say, which was basically that they want to look it over a little bit closer tomorrow, but they feel pretty good about being able to get the rest of the home schedule in. That's obviously their plan, and the fact that they're playing the women's game there tomorrow obviously says to me that there's not a concern for further incidents like this to happen. And I think the one thing, you know, that kind of just stands out to me is just, thank goodness it didn't happen while there were fans in the arena. I mean, I guess that's the one major takeaway from the whole situation, is it could have been a lot worse. So, you know, it's just one of those things that happened, and But I felt, you know, overall, I feel like they were pretty confident. I mean, obviously they're going to caveat things because it's not like nothing's a done deal at this point. But I would say that they were speaking with a pretty good deal of confidence.
The one question, and I don't think it was asked at the press conference, please correct me if I'm wrong, but there was, I believe it was the Stony Brook game this year where the roof was leaking or there were reports of the roof leaking. Was that ever asked or addressed by anybody either during the press conference or maybe after in terms of was that linked at all or was that a totally separate situation?
Was not asked about. I do remember that. I do remember some reports of that on Twitter when it happened. And if I recall correctly, I'm not 100% on this, but I think it was a different area, so I'm not sure. I know that the roof.
All right, Alex is breaking up a little bit here, so we'll mute him for a second. We'll see if we can get a little bit better connection with him. Chronic, let me go over to you real quick and just get your general sense of what you saw today. I mean, I was pleased with how Fred and Tom handled it. I thought they did a great job of being forthright. I think they were decisive, and I think they kept Indiana's best interests in mind, especially in terms of the rescheduling. And so, you know, I suppose I was a little surprised that they so quickly announced that they were going to play the game tomorrow. But as I thought more about it, it seemed to give me more confidence that those preliminary decisions that, you know, the structure is sound and this is just an isolated thing with these panels, that gave me a little bit more confidence in that and that hopefully we can get back to Assembly Hall sooner rather than later.
No, unquestionably, and I think echoing what Alex said and as well as everybody at the press conference, I mean, number one thing here is this happened, I guess it would have been about 4 hours, 5 hours or so before the doors opened. I've been to spectator sporting events where not every fan walked out of the facility or even saw another day. I've seen several fatalities at the 500 and racetracks around the state. And I'll be the first to admit, you never view that facility the same way again after having experienced something similar to that. So God smiled upon the Hoosier fans today by the timing of this. Now, that being said, when I heard the news, I was actually traveling back from doing some work, and I was on the phone with my stores. I've been battling the exact same elements that they're currently dealing with right now. You know, we've had record snowfall across the state this year. And there's a tremendous load being applied to all structures. You combine that with the warm temps that we've had, the unusually warm temperatures, and as the ice forms, it expands and gets into all the, all the construction components, I guess, for lack of a better term. And then as it thaws, all of a sudden there's these new holes for all this moisture to creep into, and there's the expanding and the contracting. Long story short, I'm dealing with leaks all over the place at my businesses. I've had my phone lines and internet service has been interrupted from it. So it's certainly par for the course in Indiana right now. I know in dealing with some of my service providers, they're on backups for days, waits that I've never seen. So it tells me that there's some widespread issues across the state going on. And it's not surprising that Assembly Hall was unspared from it. Those who have been in the hall over the last decade or so, you've seen evidence of water damage, particularly on the court ends, or the basket ends, I should say, the north and the south ends, for some time now. The ceiling panels that are tucked in behind the banners, the drywall underneath them has been damaged pretty extensively from water leaking in those very areas. And I think if you look at the nature of Assembly Hall's roof, it is particularly susceptible to exactly this type of thing, where water gets in, it freezes, expands, and then creates voids where more stuff can come in, and it causes quite a mess. I know they've had to, I don't know if they replastered drywall or what, but they've had to do some pretty extensive repair work behind those banners over the last several years just to keep battling this ongoing problem. It doesn't take a rocket scientist or a Purdue engineer to look outside and realize when you have a roof that slopes inward, as such Assembly Hall does, you're asking for all sorts of water problems, new roof or not.
So let me ask you this. As obviously a huge supporter of this program, I know for me, you might have been on this podcast that we did actually for the Assembly call earlier in the season when it was announced that the name was changing and that they were going to be doing a renovation. And I've always been very firmly on the side of the camp that wants to keep Assembly Hall as much the same as possible, which, as people have told me, is easy to say when you live 1,000 miles away, you know, and your memories are all from childhood, you know, growing up, going to games there. And I have heard that the experience there is, you know, certainly hasn't improved and perhaps has deteriorated. I've always wanted to, you know, not, you know, mess with it as little as possible, right? And I have to say, as I watched that video today, a lot of those thoughts and feelings melted away. And maybe that was a knee-jerk reaction, but a lot of it melted away to say, hey, we got to, you know, this structure was built in 1971. You know, we need to do more than just minor renovations to this thing because there, you know, there's nothing more important than safety. And you see this happen. I mean, out of nowhere, no expectation, no nothing. Does it change your opinion at all in terms of, you know, the renovate, replace debate? And do you think it will at all move the needle to make something more happen than what is already scheduled?
If anything, it only moves my needle further to the side that I think it's due for replacement. And let me condition that on the, you know, I firmly believe Assembly Hall is a national basketball cathedral. It is hallowed ground for hoops fans, unquestionably. I really appreciate some of the design elements that make it so unique that Fred Glass pointed to when they had the press conference talking about the forthcoming renovations. You know, the fact that the majority of the seating's on the side because it was supposed to be theater viewed that way. And I really do appreciate that. At the same time, I also see the limitations within the structure, both from, you know, the fan experience side of it, as well as now we're kind of forced to look at some of the structural elements of it. Again, you have a roof that pitches inward. Think about that for a second. The roof pitches to the inside. And I know there's drainage mechanisms on there, but even the layman should understand that that's probably not the most ideal. So much of that is suspended by cables. And I'm not saying that that's an unsound engineering practice. I'm just saying there's probably a better way to go about it structurally. I think it certainly gives pause, though, when you're looking at the amount of investment we're about to make in it, that perhaps there needs to be a more thorough structural assessment of it, not just can this building stand up for another 10, 20 years, but what are some of the limitations it's going to face down the road. You know, I'm still a little puzzled right now in dealing with my own commercial structures. One of the issues we've had in chasing down leaks is the surfaces are still heavily covered with snow and ice right now. And I know that's rapidly dissipating. I wonder what, you know, some more thawing might not reveal up there. So I know that may be part of the reason why so much of what was said today, it was emphasized, was preliminarily. But my guess would be, in dealing with roofers myself today, that maybe they're not getting their eyes on everything they want to see at the moment. And they're maybe not prepared to remove all the snow and the ice to get a good look at it. So perhaps it could be another day or two. But as far as the whole renovate versus replace debate, I think that's a whole nother element that we haven't really, at least we as fans, perhaps haven't fully considered. You know, I'm not gonna lie. I had planned on taking my kids to the women's game tomorrow. It certainly makes me think about that until they have their arms better around it. And, you know, I think this speaks to a broader issue as well around campus. I love this campus. I live here and I'm awestricken by it every day in so many different elements of it. But one thing that IU Bloomington has been battling with for some time and will only increasingly battle with is the R&R that these old buildings require. And for all the new construction and the great new projects going up, anyone who's done any reading locally, it's been a problem for years, and it's only snowballing the amount of money that it's going to take to continue to maintain and keep these old structures up to date. I know that this very discussion has been had when deciding, okay, here's a need for space. Do we try to, you know, rehab a current space or build a new one? And often one of the factors they're considering is the increasing cost of rehabbing some of these spaces, where you're going to get a lot more shelf life and bang for your buck by building new. And McRobbie certainly made good on that here recently because there's been new construction going everywhere. At the same time, it's really sapped funding for a lot of the other projects that are probably in dire need right now. I said earlier on Twitter, You know, my children go to daycare in a building that's had limestone falling off of it. So this is certainly an issue that touches close to home.
Yeah, I feel like you just opened up a whole can of worms that we could spend an entire other podcast talking about. For this show, let's take it back over to Alex. I want your thoughts on the decision that Fred Glass discussed, where basically Bankers Life Fieldhouse called Indiana, from what it sounded like, and please correct me if I'm wrong, but it sounded like Bankers Life Fieldhouse actually contacted Indiana. And it's funny because from about 4 to 6, I don't know if you noticed, but I mean, this was like the developing situation, you know, on the radio and Twitter, everybody figuring out, is Iowa gone? Are they here? Will they play at Bankers Life? Will they won't? You know, will they not? And finally, Fred Glass cleared it up, and it sounded like Bankers Life Fieldhouse and the Pacers contacted Indiana and said, you guys can play this game here Wednesday and Thursday. And Fred Glass politely declined, citing logistical issues and basically putting Indiana's best interests at the forefront and the fans' best interests at the forefront, which I certainly respect. Is that your understanding of how it went down? And what are your thoughts on that general decision that they made?
That's exactly the way I understood it as well, that there was communication between the two. Obviously, there's a good relationship there with IU being in the Crossroads Classic and obviously the Big Ten tournament there every other year. So as far as the decision to not take the invitation, you spoke about logistics, but just thinking, I guess, selfishly in Indiana's interest as the athletic director from Fred Glass's perspective, I mean, going to play at Bankers Life would still be a pro-Indiana crowd, but it's not going to be anywhere near the atmosphere that Assembly Hall has. And based on the information that he was receiving, you know, being able to potentially get the game in at Assembly Hall, obviously there would have that would have been a decision that he would have wanted to consult with Tom Crean on it. And my guess is they want to try to get the game in at home. And obviously the atmosphere is a big part of that. And from the logistical standpoint, just putting together a staff to kind of manage the tickets and kind of even the TV type stuff for getting a game together, you know, in 24 to 48 hours is going to be a pretty big undertaking. Obviously, Glass talked about how some season ticket holders would probably have been upset because of the seating situation there. Obviously, it's not identical to Assembly Hall, and people would have been displaced from seats, and a lot of different things could go on there. So I think if they had a sense that they weren't going to be able to get the game in at some point at Assembly Hall, it's something that you do. But based on the information they were getting, it seems like that they kind of took that into account, there's a belief that they will be able to play the game at Assembly Hall, and I think that's the right call.
Do you have any sense of when that might be, or is it just too early to tell? I know one thing he said is the teams have 72 hours between themselves to figure this out, and then it's up to the discretion of the Big Ten. Do you get any sense that they're really scrambling to get this done, themselves before it gets to the Big Ten? What kind of sense did you get in terms of that?
The sense I got from what Glass said was that he fully expects to kind of keep it between Indiana and Iowa to make the decision.
Yeah.
There's ongoing communication there. And obviously, looking at the schedule, I tweeted this earlier, but really the only date I saw that could potentially work was the 27th, which is next Thursday. That would kind of set both teams up for, Indiana would play Saturday, Tuesday, Thursday, and then Sunday in that scenario. So that's a pretty heavy schedule. But if you don't play it next week, it's kind of one of those things where do you play it after the last day of the regular season? I mean, I don't know that the coaches would want to, have a game on that Monday before the Big Ten tournament, because that's usually a week you kind of rest up a little bit and, plan for a pretty big week in Indianapolis. So, to me, and this is just speculation, I have no, information, but at this point it seems like that's probably the most realistic date to get it done.
Chronic, let me ask you, in terms of the decision, I know for me, I started to get a little bit annoyed today because I got the sense that people thought, Illinois is competing for the Big Ten title, so we should do whatever is more convenient for them. which to me, of course, is BS, because guess what? The games still matter to us, and even if we're not even on the bubble, we're still playing for things. You know, these games are still important, and home games are still important, even logistically, just from a revenue perspective. So as an Indiana fan, I was really happy to see Fred Glass step up, make the decision he made, keep Indiana's, you know, obviously he's not screwing the other team. This was an unforeseen event. But I was really happy to see the decision that he made. As a fan, how did you feel about it?
You know, more than anything, as an Indiana fan, I'm just upset that we're acting like a bunch of Boilermakers today. I mean, it's a game day, and here we are talking about engineering, so that's a little disheartening to begin with. But, you know, no, I totally agree. You know, and in most contracts, and that's what we have, these agreements, there is a clause in virtually every contract you'll ever sign done by an attorney worth of salt. It's called a force majeure. What that means is this is an act of God. It's obviously beyond our control. It's not anything we can anticipate or work around. So that's usually an out for the parties as far as, you know, our obligations for this. That being said, this is our home game. The only thing I was a little disappointed about is I doubt, because of the quick turnaround in which this is going to have to be rescheduled and put together, that we're going to have the ESPN crew in town. And, you know, I was really looking forward to tonight, not for the least of which being I can't remember the last time we lost in Assembly Hall when ESPN was doing one of their primetime broadcasts from here. Our team always seems to get up for it, so I'm a little disappointed to see that opportunity lost. But no, I totally agree. I mean, Fred's handling this like he should. He's you know, doing everything within his power to keep this as a true home game. And for all the lack of good games that we've seen in Assembly Hall, at least in the non-conference, I would be more than welcome to see this game stay in town and not have to drive to Indianapolis for it, especially considering our record at Bankers Life Fieldhouse. So, no, I think he absolutely made the right call. And there may be some extra tickets on the market where people weren't able to fit this in who had otherwise planned around today's schedule, but I still expect it to be a great home game and maybe even more consequential as the season winds on for both teams.
Yeah, you know, it was interesting. I we talk about how tragedy was averted, obviously, and the worst-case scenario certainly didn't happen, which is great. And I hadn't even, you know, I hadn't really considered just, you know, people driving up from elsewhere. And Justin Albers actually tweeted about a Kentucky fan who showed up at Assembly Hall, I think it was maybe a half hour, 45 minutes ago. I guess he wasn't listening to the radio and didn't realize that the game had been postponed. And it was his first time ever at Assembly Hall. And of course, Jeremy Gray was on Twitter immediately, you know, wanting the guy's phone number. And so I'm sure the university is going to have to contact some of those people and figure some of that stuff out. But let's look at it a little bit from the basketball perspective, as much as we can. I mean, because it's a lot of speculation, so it's probably not something we want to dwell on too much. But Alex, what sense, if any, did you get from Tom Crean? I mean, to me, watching the press conference, he looked pretty calm. I actually, you know, moments like that are actually when Tom Crean is at his best, you know, because I thought he was the one during the press conference who kind of kept steering it back to, you know, how the glass is half full and you know, how we, you know, averted the worst case scenario and kind of putting it into perspective. But from a basketball sense, were any of the players around? They obviously weren't there visible at the press conference, but were they around at all? Did you get the sense that they were disappointed, excited for the rest, that this would help or hurt? I mean, is there anything there that we can take from this from a basketball perspective?
Did not see any players. Did see Jim Harbaugh in the hallway, which was...
We missed the Harbaugh game. We missed the game Harbaugh.
He was there talking to the team, and Crean said that he went ahead and talked to him anyway.
Yeah.
And they were, you know, preparing as if they were going to play, but he didn't really talk too much about how it, you know, changes anything. I mean, it's just one of those things that you talked about. You really can't plan for it, so you have to adjust for it and get your team prepared as such. But, you know, now Indiana's looking at the scenario of three straight road games, which is, from a coaching standpoint, I mean, Indiana hasn't been, they've won one true road game. They've got, now they're gonna go to Northwestern and Wisconsin, so that, you know, they've got to get locked into getting ready for those two games. So I think it's biggest concern after tonight's over is getting ready for Northwestern and kind of have to put this behind and let the athletic directors get together and make a decision on when they want to make it up. But I didn't get the sense that he was too concerned one way or the other how it'll affect things from a basketball standpoint, simply because he can't really control it at this point.
Well, let's be real, too. Northwestern's going to be a de facto home game anyhow.
Yes, yeah, well, unfortunately, we didn't win the real home game against them, so I don't know how much confidence we should take from that. Karnak, you just put something interesting in our chat. Alex, you will find this interesting because it confirms what you said earlier. But Ken Pomeroy apparently has reslated this game for the 27th, which is next Thursday, which I believe is the date that you just gave us, Alex, as the one that, you know, that quote-unquote works the best. Again, I don't know how much stock we put in that, but it's there.
Like I said in chat, he's really good at predicting things.
He is, so. Yes, he is really good at predicting things. Karnak, let me ask you this from a basketball perspective. You know, we know that one of the criticisms of Tom Crean and one of the things that we've just seen empirically from this program is that, you know, sometimes at the end of the year they seem worn out. They don't play as well as maybe they are in January, come February and late March. Even last year's team was 4-4 down the stretch, and certainly we know that the first three teams that Tom Crean had here, just even though they weren't very good, they completely collapsed late. And even going back to his Marquette days, you know, his teams haven't always finished well. You know, is it possible that, you know, a gap like this in the middle of the season, almost, you know, an unexpected bye week, is it all a positive just in terms of rest and kind of recovery from this team? Or is that totally grasping at straws?
I guess it could be. At the end of the day, you know, if we're on a downward trajectory just based on history, I'm scared to death even more. You know, some time off, seeing how they focus with the unforeseen. You know, fortunately, it wasn't on the road, and it didn't take them away from their normal routines while they were here. Possibly, you know, there might be some letdown for the fact that it wasn't that nationally televised game that they've been looking forward to. You know, like I said earlier, those guys really seem to get up for those, Michigan State notwithstanding. I don't know. It's hard telling with these guys. And, you know, honestly, at the end of the day, I give up trying to guess where their heads are at anymore. You know, I think if anything, more separation between the next game we play and the week that we just had, at the end of the day, that cannot be a bad thing. The more distance we can put in the rearview mirror between this team and last week, the better, I guess. That's my answer.
Yeah. You know, and again, and then that's probably one of those things you could argue it either way, because sometimes you say, hey, you have a tough loss like that, you want to get on the court as soon as possible. That's why I said it may be grasping at straws. It probably is. But it's, you know, it's something that's being discussed, you know, so for what it's worth. Alex, let's go back over to you and just any final thoughts from Assembly Hall today, just to mean in terms of what you saw. I mean, I know, you know, like everybody said, it's surreal. And I don't know, you know, as a fan, I'm starting to get a little concerned that it seems like every 6 to 8 years we have one of these kind of weird non-basketballish stories that bring attention to Indiana. You know, today we've got the video on ESPN of the panel falling, and you know, 7 years ago, whatever it was, we had the Kelvin Sampson issue, and 7, 8 years before that, we have the whole Bob Knight issue my freshman year on campus. And you know, it just seems like, I don't know, every 7, 8 years there's something with this program that isn't, you know, the team with a big win or a big loss that's generating headlines. You know, I have no idea while you were there if you got a chance to interact with any fans or anybody there, but just any kind of final thoughts on, again, what was just kind of a weird day all around?
Yeah, it definitely was a weird day, just from the standpoint of you've got all this, you know, the last week, which was turbulent to say the least, and then you've got this on top of it. It just kind of feels like nothing, I guess, from the reaction that I'm getting from some fans is, you know, nothing's going Indiana's way at this point. And, I mean, it's not an unfair observation. You know, this has been their worst stretch of basketball of the season. And then the place that they hold most sacred today was kind of, a sore spot just based on something that happened that no one has any control over. You know, the one thing that surprised me a little bit from the press conference that nobody brought up and was, you know, does this really bring back up the debate at all whether or not there should be a new Assembly Hall. That wasn't really asked. And obviously, you know, I've been supportive of renovating rather than rebuilding. I can see both sides of the argument. I was just a little bit surprised that nobody really brought that up and made it into a topic again. But, you know, that was really the only thing from the press conference that I felt like wasn't brought up that I thought would be. But otherwise, like you said, just kind of a bizarre scene overall. And hopefully everything checks out. I think they said they were hoping to have an update by noon tomorrow or something. I think that was the estimate. Hopefully everything checks out and they can get these last three home games in and kind of hopefully get things back on track, at least from being able to defend the home court, because that's where they've played their best basketball this year for sure.
Yeah. Did you get, I mean, just a final question, did you get absolutely any sense that they're fearing that they'll have to shut down Assembly Hall? I mean, I know that was of the fear when that video first broke, but it certainly seemed like that was kind of taken off the table.
Yeah, it definitely didn't seem like that was even really something they were thinking about.
Yeah.
I think going back to kind of, you said Cream with the glass half full thing and Fred Glass and Tom Morrison, it seemed like, you know, both of those guys were kind of under the same opinion that they were really hoping that everything was going to check out okay. And the preliminary, I guess, report that they had was that everything was going to be okay in that regard. So I think that's kind of the assumption we're working under, unless something unforeseen happens here over the next, 12 to 18 hours, whatever it is.
You know, Chronic, let me go over to you. There is a famous scene in the movie Dumb and Dumber, which at certain points has been an apt description of how we've played on the court, unfortunately, where things are not going well for Lloyd and Harry, and Lloyd screams, he emphatically screams, such and such, all this stuff is going wrong, and our pets' heads are falling off. That's kind of what it seemed like today. You know, our ceiling panels are falling down. I mean, it's just one thing after another, it seems like. And, you know, you as a fan, they're close to it. I mean, how did days like this make you feel, where it just kind of seems like, to me anyway, and correct me if I'm wrong, but, you know, that we're a program a little bit that attracts drama, or that just, if we don't attract it, at least we seem unlucky that stuff like this keeps happening. Again, that is a non-basketball issue that kind of draws us into the public light for something that isn't basketball.
You know, I when I saw the news, I actually had to pull my car over today and just kind of process it for a second. The only thing I could come up with was just so many metaphors. And it really is the perfect metaphor for this season. I mean, the sky is falling around us right now. And maybe that's a metaphor for our youth fans. Maybe, you know, the program is crumbling at the moment. I don't know what the app metaphor is, but there's certainly a metaphor for this year in it. You know, I think what struck me more than anything, though, was just the timing of it. Having the week that we just had, with all the issues that everybody's kind of pacing the floor at night, struggling to come to grips with, and now all of a sudden our gym is falling apart. You know, this is our church. This is a place where we go worship the game and we pay homage. And to see even that crumbling around us is a little disheartening. You know, hopefully it is just structural it's non-structural and it's just the facade and everything will go along swimmingly from here on out. I'm not going to lie though. It's going to be really hard for me to go back into Assembly Hall, and not look up. And I'm not going to lie and say that I haven't done that before. I can tell you exactly what's located above me in every seat that I've ever sat in. But I'll certainly be paying a little bit more attention to it now. You know, I don't know. Maybe there's something to it. Maybe this program is cursed. Call it Bobby's curse. Call it Neil Reed's curse.
Oh, jeez.
Make this one Chuck Crabb's curse. Yeah. For whatever it is, it's certainly something, and it's certainly a metaphor for what everybody's feeling right now. I know that much is true.
Well, I mean, and let me, again, and this is something I started thinking about today. And, again, I mean, I grew up as a season ticket holder, you know, and so Assembly Hall holds such a special place in my heart. I mean, you know, I was actually talking with my girlfriend the other day about, you know, just how, my favorite memories of childhood are, and again, my dad was a football coach, and so, you know, I obviously enjoyed spending time at Memorial Stadium, but my favorite times with my dad growing up were going with him to the games at Assembly Hall, you know, and I thought about it today, you know, let's say, you know, what would it take for me to feel comfortable going in there again? Because when you watch that video, I mean, it just, it makes you stop, because there could have been a person in the seat, you know, I don't want to belabor that point, but when you think about it, it really gives you chills. So you, as someone who goes there on a regular basis, I don't anymore, obviously, what will it take for you to feel comfortable going there? Are you planning on going for the women's game? I know you said that you were thinking about it.
You know, I'm gonna put it up to my kids. I know a person who sits two rows away from where that piece fell, and where it flopped down, it probably would have struck him. That gave me pause. Over dinner tonight, I was showing my wife the video of it. My son happened to kind of crane his neck around and caught a look at it, and he was visibly distraught by it. And that was really, really bothersome to me, because like you just described, you know, that's a place of some of our fondest memories together. That's my fondest memories with my father. And those are the memories I'm trying to build with him right now. So it's certainly unsettling to know that, you know, we're dealing with a facility that is subject to that type of failure, no matter how manageable or isolated it may be. Will I stop going? No, but like I said, we're probably going to pay a little closer attention. I'll probably read with very eager eyes what is reported from here on out on it, and we'll see. We'll see if it doesn't shape the debate going forward about what to do with Assembly Hall. Maybe some of that renovation money is going to have to go dealing with some of the other issues, not the least of which being the design of the roof and the fact that all that weight is thrust onto the middle of it, where the load is heaviest on the structure. I don't know. It's certainly unsettling, though, and I think for so many people that share such similar feelings about that gym, that's a place we love that we now have seen. And I totally agree. It was extremely frightening just to watch that video and imagine what that looks like if there are people in the gym tonight. And again, I can't reiterate how blessed we are that we avoided that, because that could be something that scarred generations to come and maybe ultimately doomed Assembly Hall's fate going forward. Who knows? But it certainly wouldn't have. We certainly wouldn't be having this conversation tonight, or at least not in this tone.
No.
And it certainly would be something that is perhaps as easily addressed as it is right now. So extremely fortunate with that, but it's certainly something that's been weighing on a lot of minds for a long time. And that's a little unfortunate in and of itself.
Yeah. No, and you hit on the right word. It's unsettling. And like you said, as soon as it happened, the metaphors, the jokes, you know, they just come flowing out, because it was in so many ways such a perfect metaphor. But then you see the video, you know, and you know, you picture what it would have been like if it had happened 6.5 hours later. And, you know, for someone like me, you think back to the memories that you have in that place. And, you know, I know how staunch of supporter I've been of, you know, renovate, you can't replace, you've got to keep as much of Assembly Hall's, you know, integrity and structure in place as possible. And you see a moment like this, and that ceiling panel falling could, you know, we don't know what's going to happen in the future, but that could signal the end of Assembly Hall as we know it. Who knows what's going to happen? But, you know, as soon as you start thinking about it in those contexts, you know, it becomes certainly less of a jokeable story than it was before. And, you know, I certainly don't expect anybody who didn't grow up with that at the center of their life to understand. But luckily, the listeners of Podcast on the Brink, I believe most of them will be able to relate with that feeling. That, I mean, it's like seeing your childhood home almost, you know, start falling apart. And like you said, the cathedral, this place that is so strong, that has been so stable, that has just been this fortress of security and dominance for Indiana basketball for so long. And you see its frailty, you know, you see that, and it's tough. It's unsettling. I think you hit on the perfect word. This day has been unsettling in so many ways. And so we will watch now. We will see what happens. Again, at least for me, and it sounds like for everybody on this show, the overwhelming sense is that you know, the Indiana administration, Fred Glass, Tom Morris, and Tom Crean, handled today very well, did as much as they could with the information that they had, and now we wait and see when this game will be rescheduled. We wait and see what will happen with Assembly Hall. And in the meantime, we just thank our lucky stars that this is a conversation about arena renovations and game reschedulings as opposed to something else. With that said, thank you, everybody, for listening to Podcast on the Brink. I'm Jared Morris. I thank Chronic Hoosier and especially, of course, Alex Bozich, driving back from Bloomington to give you all the stories, jumping on with us today. If you like what you're hearing, we'd love for you to leave us a review, leave us a rating on iTunes. And no matter what, whenever the next game is in Assembly Hall, cheer hard. This game still matters. This team is still playing for a lot. And let's hope they get back into Assembly Hall real soon. Thanks, everybody.